Listen, you could spend years building a YouTube channel or an Instagram channel and hoping that one day people start following you enough to where you have enough leads on your calendar to make any real money. Or you could learn the one skill that allows you to push buttons at 9 a.m. and have sales by 12 p.m. And that's Facebook ads.
But we did start running ads later. They'd be like, these leads suck. And it's like, actually, these are what normal leads are. Like, yeah. This is a real lead. You guys got to actually learn to sell now. You know, these digital marketers who don't build brand, who don't put out good organic content, they ain't going to last. Like, the days of just running ads and you have nothing else for them to go watch, you're toast. What's up, Wealthbuilders? Today, I got a dude who was a little pizza boy who turned that gig into making over $30 million online, doing just different forms of marketing and everything else. I've got Dan Henry. What's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, dude. So I just know you as the pizza boy, man.
Yeah, well, that was 7 years. I made a career out of that. So.
Was it Papa John's or what?
No, it was mostly Pizza Hut. Mostly pizza in Lombard, Illinois.
You know what? I'm actually a Pizza Hut guy. People don't like Pizza Hut, but I think it's the best.
Yeah, I don't like pizza at all, probably because of that experience.
Well, I'm actually a stuffed crust guy, so
yeah,
I don't want to know how it's made, but I like it.
It took me about a year to get the smell out of my skin. So I'm good on pizza for the rest of my life.
There we go. So I remember seeing you, man, I don't even know when I saw you the first time. I think I was at Funnel Hacking Live back in 2018, and maybe you were just like coming up around then. And
yeah,
you know, you had like had million-dollar days and different things like that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I don't think I had a million. I had million-dollar months back then. I don't think I had a million-dollar day. I had a million-dollar day. My first million-dollar day was right when COVID hit, which is, you wouldn't think, right? You'd think that would be the time you would make the least amount of money.
Yeah.
But the month after, I think it was March, it was when everything was like really crazy and you couldn't even leave your house.
Yeah.
I had an event that I was going to do live, and COVID hits, and I'm like, well, I can't do it now. So my, I had bought speaking coaching from Myron Golden, and I said to Myron, I can't do the event now. You know, I had all this plan, pyrotechnics and all this stuff.
Did you really?
No.
Okay. I was like, hey, dude.
But you know, I'd thought about it.
Okay.
And he goes, just hold it on Zoom. And I'm like, oh man, you know, and I just couldn't wrap my head around it. So I end up doing it in my dining room, one camera, no slides, just a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And I was selling a $30,000 mastermind. I sold 34 spots into it, made $1 million in a day.
Wow.
And I was blown away. I could not believe that happened, you know, and not just to go from being a 7 year career pizza boy to that, but thinking, who's going to buy this right now? Everybody's scared. Everybody's freaking out. They're watching me on Zoom. And that was before that whole like virtual challenge thing was like real popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
$1 million in a day. It was, and I've done that now 3 times.
Wow.
So
using kind of the same framework.
Yeah. I mean, I get better each time. But yeah, I mean, essentially just platform, they call it platform closing.
Yeah.
It's very different than what you would do on a sales call or in some sort of video sales letter or even a webinar. It's a psychological Mona Lisa that you paint. And at the end of the show, people just come to the conclusion that they need to buy all on their own. Mm-hmm. There's like no close.
Yeah.
There's no actual real close.
Right.
So
that's cool. And so how long was that event?
I think 4 or 5 hours for 2 days. Made the pitch on the second day. So you could say it was
so,
2 days.
So it was a 10 hour event total?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what were you training on? Like, what do you help people do at this point?
Right now or then?
Both.
So right now, you know, I own getclients.com, so I help people get clients.
Yeah.
But we have a membership site for that. On the side, I do some speech writing because now I've got so good at selling from stage that I'll do some speech writing for people who hold events, and then I'll take a percentage. And then we're going to launch a AI software coming up. So
got it.
You know.
And what were you doing back then?
Back then, I was doing a basic mastermind for people who sold either info products or some sort of coaching or consulting. And there were some agencies in there. It's all really centered around, hey, you have some sort of premium product or service. I'm going to help you get clients and build out that offer.
So let's talk about that, right? As somebody who was never like an internet guy for a long time, I came into the digital marketing space, as you'd call it, late. I actually, you know, I was a real estate investor. I'd flipped hundreds of homes and made my money that way. And then I just started making content, and the content then led to education and events and all the things we do now.
You did it in reverse.
I did it way in reverse, which is probably the right way to do it.
Yeah, true.
You know, because every digital marketer I meet's like, okay, now I want to be legitimate. I want to do like a real business. And I'm like, what is a real business? Like, I thought a business is something that makes money, but nonetheless, yeah, I did take a reverse path compared to most. And, you know, my experience has been that in this space, so many people, you know, do have the ability to create an offer or a service or education or consulting or be a life coach or be a mentor, whatever, right? Like, there's lots of different side hustles somebody can do right now. They just don't even know where to start. And so has that been like your thing, is just helping people start that?
I've had a variety of programs over the years. Some of them focus on sales for those products. Some of them focus on creation. One of my first part, we were talking about this before, was I taught people how to start a marketing agency, because I learned
that was the Ty Lopez thing, right? Didn't he make that
my
famous?
Shit was out before Ty. Okay. Come on now.
Okay.
But no, so where I ended up saving my whole life was, I had a restaurant that I owned. I had to learn marketing to grow that bar and restaurant. And specifically, that was social media marketing and Facebook ads. I took a bar and restaurant that was off of a beaten path. You couldn't find it. And I used social media marketing to make it busy.
This is after Pizza Hut.
Yes, this is after. Yeah, I started investing in like real small businesses. I did Italian ice. I did airbrush tattoos. And then I would like sell those little businesses, and I'd build it up, and I'd get into bigger and bigger businesses. And eventually I got into like the restaurant space. And I will tell you, my advantage to the internet game was I had a bunch of brick and mortars.
That's what I'm saying. Before, so you did real business.
Yeah. Which meant when I got into this internet thing, I'm like, this is easy. So yeah. I didn't cry and whine when I didn't make a sale my first day. I was like, oh, that's normal.
Yeah.
And I just think that most people who only do internet, they're like, oh, I'm not a millionaire, and it's been 5 minutes, and they like, this isn't working. And it's like, dude, like, what's wrong with your brain? Like, you're fine. You know, yeah. You're good.
And I'm 18 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. And so because I had that real business experience, it was a breeze for me. But in this one particular instance, I end up selling that bar for a $300,000 profit, which at that point, I'm in my early 20s. I look like I'm five. I look super young. I thought that was like achieving the American dream. Well, my accountant, who's doing my taxes, dies in the middle of the thing. I can't get all my tax paperwork. So I get sued by the IRS for $250,000. Okay. So now I'm like back to square one, and I had to figure out how to make money. So my wife is like, hey, listen, you're really good at all this like internet marketing stuff. Like you built these businesses because you know how to get people to buy your stuff, but all the other parts of business you suck at. Like, you're terrible. So we're not going to start another business. Why don't you just help other businesses get more clients? And I was like, wow, that's really smart. So I went out and I started doing marketing, charging, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a month.
What year was this?
This was like 16, maybe.
2016. Okay.
Yeah. And that got us back on our feet. We couldn't even pay at one point, this was right before I did that, we couldn't pay the electric. So I printed up, I had a t-shirt company. I'd left over like t-shirt printers. I printed up some $1 water bottle shirts and I bought some water from Walmart, and I went out and tried to sell water on the side of the road, which did not work because apparently there's 7-Elevens and people don't want to.
Your water wasn't cold.
Yeah. And so did the marketing agency, got a client, did that for, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, got back on my feet. And then people started asking me, they were like, how are you making money doing this? And I was like, well, I learned marketing, and then I did marketing for people who don't want to learn marketing, and they pay me for that marketing. And they're like, can you teach me? And that's when this whole thing came about, where I started selling courses and coaching, because that is even more money, you know, because you can only take on 10, 15, 20 clients, maybe, unless you're one of these guys has master operations abilities, and you can manage, you know, like Sibril, or I can't pronounce his name. He's got like this huge marketing agency. I don't have that, dude.
Yeah.
I can't manage 100 employees. I will shoot myself in the head. I'm like, I like to talk. I like to live the laptop lifestyle. Like, I admire what you have here.
Yeah.
The sales force. I can't do it. Like, I want to sit on my ass on my laptop and make money without having to be anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
That's just my thing. And that gave me that, you know? And so that's how it all started. And then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and went from there.
Yeah. So you were telling me before the show, and I mean, we're going to talk more about marketing because I want to pick your brain on some different things.
Yeah.
But you're telling me before the show too, one thing that happened for you was that your wife kind of ended up leaving you during all of this.
Yeah. So my wife is from Turkey. Her father was actually very wealthy and he didn't have a lot of time for her. And so she actually does not like wealth. She told me one time, she's like, I don't want you to make any more than 30 grand a month. No. I was like, listen, like that's a bad day. Like, come on, calm down. And she's like, no, we don't need any more than that. Cause she knows what being wealthy takes in terms of time. If you're a great entrepreneur and a great father, you're either lying or you've cracked some code that none of us know about. Okay. Because that's very hard to be that good at two very, very hard things that are, you know. And so our first marriage, I was good at entrepreneurship and I became obsessed with it and I became just really into it. And I wanted to be the best, you know, I just didn't want to make money. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the best marketer, all this stuff. And we ended up getting divorced, 5 years. And I did all kinds of stupid stuff. You know, when you're male for the first time in your life, you're single and rich, you do stupid stuff. I bought a yacht. I went out and party, you know, it's really stupid. I spent $2 million cash on a yacht. Yeah. I got lucky because when COVID hit, there were no yachts. Everybody wanted to live on
the yacht. Did you flip it and make a profit?
No, but I broke even.
Yeah.
Which my broker was like, dude, that never happens. Yeah, like you need to pray and thank God. And I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm out. So anyway, the point is that, I lived this crazy life and then I realized that I had everything that every man asked for. You know, like you take your normal average dude and you say, here's a yacht. Here's 10 beautiful women on the yacht. Here's whatever. Oh yeah, it's great. And I had all that. And I was miserable, totally miserable. I'd go home every night and all I could think about was like, I went to this beautiful place. I wish my wife could have saw it. Meaning at that point, my ex-wife, I went to this beautiful place. I wish my wife could have saw it, you know? And, 5 years later, I realized that, and I had tried to get back with her from time to time, but I'd realized that I was just trying to scheme my way back into the marriage with my wife. I wasn't actually becoming the person that deserved the marriage. And I just woke up one day and I decided to completely change everything about who I am, not just what I have or what I do, but who I am as a person. And just become a different person. And when I did that, she started to open up more. And because at that point I wasn't scheming, I was really changing who I was. And then I asked her 314 times to get back together.
Mm.
First time she told me she'd rather light herself on fire. 314 times she said yes. So that's the power of follow-up.
Yeah, that is good.
She said yes, and we got remarried. We've been remarried for about a year. We just moved to Dubai, bought a house in Dubai. We lived in Costa Rica for a bit, and we're ready to start our life over there.
Wow.
So
that's an inspiring story.
Thank you.
Of redemption and, you know, discovery and everything.
That's
else.
Not copy. That actually happens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a fairy tale. This is just, you know, life.
Yeah.
It's interesting, right? So like part of the wealthy way, if you read the book, is really about what you just talked about, balancing life overall, you know, having a great marriage, having, you know, faith, having great health, having a great business. Like life is about so many different things other than making money. Yet we think we have to sacrifice everything to have one. And, you know, for most people, like even for you, right? Like you're back married now. And I would assume your marriage is, you know, hopefully better than it was before.
Oh yeah.
And your business is going well. Yeah. So like you are having it all at this point.
Well, no, because dude, not really. And I think that's reality is back in the day when I was hyper-focused on my business, I saw my kid, you know, on the weekends, I was making $1 million a month all the time. because that's all I was doing. I don't make $1 million a month right now, and I'm totally fine with it. I still make good freaking money, you know, more money than most people would ever even think of.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need to make $1 million a month. You know, I can be more chill. And the funny thing is,
so why would you say you're not doing good in business? You're doing exactly as good as you want to do.
Yeah, but if you want to say like, oh, am I hitting records? No, I'm not. And I don't need to or want to, you know? And what's funny about that is I think that at some point we will hit a record because I've begun realizing, have you ever read the book Who Not How?
Mm-hmm.
So now that I've had more time, not just to spend with my family, but to educate myself on higher level thinking rather than just marketing and copy, but like real entrepreneurial thinking, that has allowed my business to actually grow now more than I thought it would by implementing actual principles. Like for one, hiring a friggin' actual real chief operations officer that does all the stuff that I suck at, mm-hmm. at a high level, mm-hmm. like really helps. And so that's not something you learn in marketing.
No,
you know?
No.
So I think I will get back there, but instead of a sprint, it's just, I feel like it's a nice cruise.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I've talked to people on this show and, you know, a lot of people, they refer to it as like, you know, having good pace or being in a flow state, being in the zone, whatever. Right. And so many entrepreneurs are just running a sprint. Like you said, they're not,
yeah.
you know, it may look, you know, here's the difference, right? As a former pro athlete, we move at speeds that are way beyond normal humans.
Yeah.
Right.
I can see that.
And it looks easy. And yet to us, it just feels normal. It's not like we're trying hard to move at that speed. It's just normal to us. Yeah. And so I think what happens is entrepreneurs, they run at a sprint pace that's fast for them. They can't breathe. They're underwater. They're super stressed.
Makes
all this.
Other people uncomfortable.
Yep. They're just frantic. All these different things because they are truly sprinting at a pace they're not ready for. And this is why I say, like, even for you, I do think you have both now because you have now realized, like, I am running at the proper speed, which, by the way, everyone else looking at you is like, bro, this dude is killing it. He's moving quick. He's doing these things, right?
Yeah, but for my speed, it's, you know, because of I've already run at a higher speed, I don't feel that way, but I'm okay with it. And I think, is that your point? You know, that is the true
Yeah, well, I don't think that you may be running at the same speed, but you just have a longer, like now you're running longer a marathon, runway. Right? Yeah. You're not running the 100-yard dash of every month.
It feels so much
better.
You're not
running, you're not basing your business on a monthly basis anymore.
Right.
You're looking longer time horizon. And you're probably running at the same speed. It's just different. You're playing a different race.
I mean, once I took care of the things I always said I would take care of, once I paid off all my debt, bought my mom and dad a house, just took care of everybody. I got homes in now 3 different countries, which is something I wanted to do. I wanted to have a home in 3 different countries. And now I have multiple homes in those 3 countries. I just don't have the urge to make excessive amounts of money to the point where I need to kill myself to do it. I'd rather make, like, cause to me, a dollar is not a dollar, right? I don't like this concept that $1 equals a dollar, because if I take a dollar and I put it right here in front of your foot and I take another dollar and I put it a mile down the road, which dollar do you want?
Yeah. The low hanging fruit.
Right. So then they're not the same. They're not worth the same. They might both be a dollar, but they're not worth the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the point with that? The
point is I would rather make, say, $250,000 a month and be chill than make $1 million a month and be like manic, you know?
Well, I think it goes to, and I've kind of used a different analogy, but the real thing we're looking for is first meeting like your needs is what people first start at. So it's like whatever covers your basic needs. Then it's like, all right, what now covers my wants, the lifestyle I want to live, right? Yeah. And then beyond that, there's really no extra gain. Because you've already reached what it is you want. And so if money was your only motivation and lifestyle was your only motivation, you're basically not going to want to work. The only thing that forces you to continue growing is something beyond yourself, right? A greater purpose. And so, you know, people just need to understand that. And I see many people who are like, why can't I grow my business? I'm like, because you have no purpose to. You've achieved what it is you want to achieve. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just will not change. Because money is no longer the motivator. The survival, you know, the instinct to survive is no longer motivating you. It's gone.
Have you ever heard that old Zig Ziglar bit that he used to do where he talked about the archerist?
I've never like watched any of his stuff.
No. So he told this story once where he was in a room of a bunch of people, and he tells the story about this archerist. He says, there's this world-class archerist. He could take a bow and arrow and he could fire it and he could land dead center in the bullseye. And then he could take another arrow and he could fire it. He could split that arrow. And he says, I'll bet you I can take any one person in this audience, and in 20 minutes, I will teach you to hit the target more consistently than that world-class archerist. Given that that archerist is blindfolded. And the principle here is that if you don't have a target, if you can't see the target, you can't hit it no matter how good you are. And I think that if you don't say like, hey, yeah, maybe you want to make this amount of money, but how do you want to make it? What do you want that to be affected? How do you want that to affect your life? Do you want to grind for it? Do you want to chill for it? Because like you do a lot of obviously real estate,
yeah.
Right? Real estate's great because I don't even know how to do real estate, man. And I've made millions off real estate. And I don't even know what I'm doing because I've taken cash from my business, put it in real estate, waited, and the real estate has appreciated. And I'm like, okay, and I sold it. I bought a condo for $2 million in downtown St. Pete, waited just under 2 years and sold it for $3 million.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about real estate.
Yeah.
And so having those targets is, like I've always said that one of the greatest business models is you make a bunch of internet money, cash internet money, and you dump it into real estate. Yep. That's like the perfect.
See, that's why I did the opposite. I made real estate money, then I made internet money, and I'm like, oh snap, these two go together.
Yeah, yeah, they do. They do that. Yeah, because yeah. It's hard to sell internet businesses. It really is.
Yeah,
comparatively to because I've sold 2 restaurants. Way easier to sell a restaurant or like a brick and mortar than an internet business, even if the internet business makes way more money.
Yeah, yeah, because it's just
it's intangible.
Yeah, and it's usually personality driven.
Yep.
There's no recurring. There's
can't
no,
cut off my face and sell it to you. So
yeah,
you
know. So with that, you know, another thing I think about is just you like you're learning a principle now after all these years that is the only way you could have both, have a great marriage, have a great business, and that is delegating, right?
Yeah, big.
Because if you don't, then it's impossible. Right.
And finding people who know how to do stuff that you don't know how to do or that are better than you at it.
Yeah.
Or, and this is probably the biggest one, accepting that there are some things that people can do for you that they will never do as good as you. And you just have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Period.
No, I always say I would rather have 10 people who are 70, 80% as good as me than one, me.
Right. Yeah.
We'll get further.
And that one you is going to leave in like 6 months.
Yeah, I'm going to get burnt out.
Or he's going to want to do his own thing. Yeah.
Right. So, but I don't want to do the work.
Right.
Right. I'd rather have everyone else. I mean, that's like what you saw here is just delegating. Because like for me, I've always felt like I've been running at my own pace. I haven't gotten like crazy eyed at what other people are doing. Right. For example, I remember when I went to that Funnel Hacking Live in 2018, I had not made any money online or anything. It was my first experience. I was like, these guys are making this much money online.
Yeah, stupid. Yeah.
And I was like, what I do is way harder. I was flipping 100 houses a year. I'm like, what I do is way harder. And these guys are making more money. And I know I'm like way more talented than they are. Like it was just true. Like I just do harder work, take more risk. I already had to learn how to raise millions of capital, how to manage labor.
Yeah, that's like real business.
Yeah. Yeah, I was way more skilled. It's not arrogance. It just was the facts. Yeah, I'm like, these guys sit at their laptop and they just click some ads and like sell some crap. I'm like, this is crazy. Now, here's what happened. I ended up writing my first book back then. I made a course because Russell, you know, sells you on the dream that, dude, you know, this is back then. Yeah. You know, you just run some ads and it just prints money. I was like, sick. Print money machine, you know, and it didn't work. So then I was like, screw this. I'll just keep flipping houses. And so I didn't do anything for a couple of years. And then when COVID hit, I just started making content because I saw the same thing, but in a different way, right? Like I'd seen all these digital marketing guys making money, but then I saw the YouTubers who had real brands. And I said, man, dude, these Mr. Beasts of the world, these other guys, these Logan Pauls, these guys are the ones who are really got it figured out. You know, they have the attention. They could create products. They can do whatever they want and they're going to win. They don't have to spend any money on ads. They don't have to do nothing. I was like, I want to be that. That's where I'll win. I don't need to learn this ad game, this webinar game, this other thing.
Right. Because but, that whole thing is a webinar. That whole thing, it's you have somebody watches 10 of your YouTube videos and then they go to buy something. Your sales page can be trash and they're still going to buy.
Yeah. And that's what people always tell me too, who are the hardcore market. Like, I don't know how this converts the way it converts. I'm like, brand, right? So anyways, I just focused all in on that and it was great. And then, you know, over the years.
That's working well for you, YouTube?
I only did organic YouTube and Instagram and TikTok for years and we made millions, just internet money. And then I only started introducing ads in, you know, like a year and a half ago. Mm. And now for the last 6 months, I've entrenched myself into the ads world, trying to understand what you guys have been doing for years.
Yeah, that's where I got started. We were spending, I mean, there was a point where I was spending $300-400 grand a month on Facebook ads for my own offer. I'm not talking about as an agency for other businesses, 10 businesses combined. I'm saying for my own offer, one landing page, one $300 grand to one page.
Tell me about like what that's like stress-wise, dealing with that, everything well, else.
It's very different now because the market changes. So back then, the game was, look, you have a page that converts, right? You have a webinar, a sales presentation that converts. You need to get as many people to that page as possible once you get it to work. And in order to do that, you just have to keep coming up with new ads that are different, but essentially accomplish.
They're leading to the same thing.
Yeah. So it's basically like if you were to have a talk show and every day your script writers or your screenwriters, if you were like Letterman, because I know you do your own thing, but for them, they had all these like PAs and stuff.
Yeah.
Have to constantly come up with new ideas of things to talk about. Each show was like a new ad, basically. And that's Facebook ads and media buying. It's like, you got to keep saying the same thing over and over again in different ways. Letterman, Conan O'Brien, all these guys, they essentially do the same thing. They interview guests and they have funny interactions. Well, that's what you do on Facebook ads. You say, hey, here's this opportunity or here's this way to fix something in your life. Go to this page to friggin' fix it. But you got to figure out 500 different ways to say that.
Yeah.
And so the stress comes in being creative and coming up with just so many different ideas to say the same thing.
Yeah. So you come up with a landing page, a webinar, whatever that converts, just get traffic there pretty much as cheap as possible at that point.
You want to acquire the customer as cheap as possible. See, back then you could spend $300 grand a month on ads and make a million. And it's harder now.
Without a sales team.
Oh yeah, dude. That was the best time of my life. Low tickets, $997. I was printing cash. I was buying $1 million homes. I mean, I was doing nothing. Dude, I was doing nothing. I was literally on my laptop. All I did every day was I was like, all right, what's the different funny ad? Because I did a lot of funny ads. You know? So that made it easier for me because I like to make jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would do these different ads and I'd do weird stuff. I'd wear funny hats. I mean, I did all kinds of crazy stuff. I did this one ad where I recreated the Purge movie and I was like stabbing people. And then Facebook was like, no,
you can't do that.
You can't do that. I was like, okay. I did at one point, and this was later on, when I had the yacht, have you ever seen the movie Step Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember where they did the boats and hose thing?
Yeah.
So I called it Book and Clothes. And we were on this yacht and I had the same t-shirts. I hired a videographer. I filmed the same exact thing. And I hired a professional rapper to make me a song called Book and Clothes. And it was all about, you know, book calls and clothes sales.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just did this whole thing and made it funny. And so what I found is when you're spending a lot of money on paid traffic, the big thing that will set you apart is creativity. It's being just outlandish and creative and talent. And the problem with that is that's not like a real business. That's a talent-based business. You know, you rely on the fact that somebody on your team, if not you, has an incredible amount of artistic talent. And it's hard to scale a business with that because artists get burnt out.
Yeah. So how did it change as time went on?
So that was the easy days. As it got,
because there was less competition, cheaper ads.
Both in what you sold and in the
ad buy.
Then people started thinking like, okay, well, if I charge more, that'll make up for it. And that's true because I went, I used to teach like complete beginners how to start a marketing agency. And then I switched to teaching people who were consultants and who were agency owners and who were coaches, how to do what I did. Cause we did 10 million with that offer. And so I was like, all right.
How many employees did you have to do that?
Two, three.
You didn't need any sales team. You just ran the ads.
Yeah. Yeah. Now when we did another 20 million with high ticket. Now that's a lot of staff. For that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not mince it. There's three ways I've made a lot of money in my life in terms of internet marketing. One is just sending ads to a really good sales presentation, selling something on a sales page. That's number one. Number two is getting people on a call and selling them something 10 to 50,000, sometimes 100,000. And number three is doing that same thing, but from stage and having them buy directly, not having to talk to anybody. Same price, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, even 100,000 from stage by holding your own event.
Yeah, but how are they not going to talk to somebody? Like people don't run their credit card for $100,000, $50,000.
Well, you don't do credit, you do wire.
Yeah.
So what I do.
So they're not going to buy it right then and there, but yeah.
I do a $2,000 deposit.
Yeah.
And then I say, you have this much time to wire the rest. Now, I will say, if you do have a follow-up call with them and you say like, hey, well, get on the phone to settle up, you can squeeze more sales out of it. But like Myron, for instance, doesn't do that because he plays golf six times a week. He can't be bothered with the sales team. so he knows that he would make more if he had a sales team hitting up every single person on his event, but he doesn't want to. Why? That's what I love about the concept of not needing to squeeze every last penny out to trading happiness for few extra pennies.
Yeah. So it ended up having to go to high ticket.
It went to high ticket and that was great for years. And it's still good. But when the market catches on, right, everybody starts doing the same thing. So everybody starts charging 10,000 for everything. Everybody starts charging 20,000. And so now it gets a little bit different. There's been, if you've noticed, there's been a bit of a dip in the high ticket market because if some people charge high ticket, that means, oh, that's the VIP, that's first class. But if everybody charges high ticket, well, now that's just coach.
Yeah.
And now you can't even afford to get on the plane.
Yeah.
And so I like to zig when people zag. Every time you do something, every time the market does something new, something that's old that worked before and then stopped working, starts working again. Like if you probably heard Russell talk about direct mail. Direct mail is like starting to work way better now because everybody's doing internet marketing. And direct mail sort of died a bit unless you were really good at it. And apparently now I don't do direct mail, but I've heard that it's become easier because everybody's focused on the internet.
Yeah, I did TV commercials for 4 years, house flipping. Oh, everybody thought TV was dead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, nothing's dead if you're the best at it.
Yeah.
But most people aren't the best at it. You're like, I still make Facebook ads work. We make Facebook ads work for a $97 product.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know? But I've also been doing it for 10 years. So I don't try to think in the perspective of if you're the best, because very few people are the best. I think who's the average person, the average business owner that can make something work, you know?
So at what point did you, I guess, not focus on high ticket as much because you saw the dip starting to happen and the contraction?
Well, no, see, what I didn't like about high ticket was if you either had to do it yourself or you had to manage a sales team.
Yeah.
And that's great when you want to make a lot of money. But when you have enough money, it starts to become a pain in the butt. You just don't want to do it. And so we've always had no problem selling high ticket, but we've seen other people have a lot of problem recently because you just have to be better. You have to be better at sales. You have to have a clearer offer. You have to have better marketing because it's just more competitive. So it's not that it's dying. It's that it's more competitive, and that's what we call dying. That's a big difference.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's dying. It's just compressing.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking from stage makes it way easier because, again, most people can't speak from stage. So when you're sitting there and in the audience, whether it's virtual or in person, and you see somebody who's just moving you with their words, they're painting an orchestra with what they say versus the guy who just had some video on the internet and said, book a call, you know, you're going to tend to give that person your money more because they just moved you in such a more profound way. But again, You have to have way more skill to do that. So what I found is the more skill you have, the easier it is to deal with saturation. The less skill you have, the more you succumb to the market conditions.
Right.
You know, and that's really what it is. And most people, and we were talking about this before, they just don't want to get that good. They don't want to get that good. I remember the biggest lesson I ever learned about making friggin' money, I learned it from a billionaire. And I was working for this sales company, and the guy that owned his name was Jeff. He owned multiple companies, and he had them all housed in one building. He was a real nice guy. He would buy lunch for all the companies, not just one, all the companies every day. And he'd go sit around with everybody and have like lunch with various employees. And one day I got to sit next to him, and I shot my shot. And I said, Jeff, how do you get rich? I want to take care of my family. I want to buy my mom and dad a house. How do you get rich? And he looks at me and he says, how many books do you read a week on like money and business? I said, none. And he looks at me and he says, well, then you don't want to get rich. I said, what do you mean? Who didn't want to get rich? He's like, no, you don't understand. People that want to get rich read books on how to get rich. You don't read books on how to get rich. So you don't want to get rich. And that is your first lesson. And that really sunk in with me because I realized like, oh, you know, most people, they don't have the body they want. They don't have the car they want. They don't have the house they want. They don't have the relationship they want. They don't have the money they want. 99% of people, only 1% do, but 99% of people want that 1% life, but they still behave like the 99%. Mm-hmm. And I realized that you can't have 1% stuff if you behave like the 99. And that's where I began to really understand that if you really want to beat anyone, if you want to compete at any level, if you want to beat any market, deal with market saturation, offer saturation, high Facebook ad costs, you just have to be better. And you have to be willing to just get better and read a friggin' marketing book instead of watching Netflix. You know, like it's that simple.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, people are, look, they don't want to put in the work, and that's
good. Good, because that would make my job way harder.
If everyone wanted to put in the work.
If everyone put in the work, I would not make that much money. So thank you for being lazy. You know? Thank you. I appreciate it very much. It's made me very rich. Thank you.
So with that, what would you say the world of internet marketing is going towards now? You know, you're zigging while everyone zags, like not you personally, but like where do people need to start looking at today?
I mean, it is the principle of zigging and not zagging. Look, everybody abandoned low ticket and went high ticket. So I went high ticket probably a year before everybody really got into the high ticket. I went back to low ticket probably a solid 6 months before everybody's like, maybe we should start selling low ticket stuff again, right? So to me, it always opened whatever everyone is doing. They've left this party over here, right? Now you can get food. Now that the buffet line is very short, because yeah, Everybody's at this buffet. Okay, so I don't necessarily think it's where it's going. It's where has it been? Where it's now no longer hard to be again.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think for me anyways, I haven't been in the digital marketing game very long, but I've done everything for the most part. Like we've held massive events. We've done high ticket. We now launched low ticket with Wealthy University. And with that, I'm a big fan of it. I think at low ticket, you can help more people. I think with the economy the way it is, it's just more palatable for most people. And I think at the end of the day too, you give people enough value in that, they're going to eventually become bigger clients of yours as time goes on.
I think if you're just starting out though, you got to do high ticket. It doesn't make sense to do low ticket.
If you're just starting.
Yes. Got it. Which you would think would be the opposite, right? Because if I say to you, hey, Ryan, I know how to do this thing that'll help you. I'm going to work just with you.
Yeah, that's different.
Then it's like, now I can charge you a high ticket price because why would I charge you low ticket?
For one-on-one.
I do that for 3 months, 6 months, 8 months. I get a lot of experience, and now I'm getting so much better working with you one-on-one that I can get similar results for other people without having to be one-on-one. And now you start backing up to where you can start doing things like books. Because I'm sorry, if you've only ever worked with a couple clients, don't write a friggin' book. You don't know jack, dude. You don't know jack. Write a book after you've, like when I sold my course on how to sell info products, these people, another guru selling a course on how to sell courses. Yeah. And I get that sentiment because most most of those people, they sell $5 worth of courses or they make 10 grand and they're like, ah, oh, I'm going to create a course on how to sell courses. I did 10 million before I ever taught anything about that. And that's the problem, is that most people in this industry, and this is the real lion's share, they learn something that they're interested in, they have a minor success, and then they decide, oh, I'm going to go all in on this. I'm going to be the guru. It's like, no, dude, stay where you are. Stay in the small pond until you get so big in that small pond that your fat bulges are sticking out of the pond, okay? And the friggin' frogs are getting smashed by your obliques, okay? And then you go to a bigger pond. Mm. You don't just, you know, jump in the next pond. Mm. So that I think is a big problem.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I mean, to be honest, I hear about like different stereotypes and then I think like, I don't know, like I don't see them. Like I think, you know, we think that's true, but then you just look at
stereotypes?
Like the stereotype of somebody having a little bit of success and then going all.
No, that's true. I'll tell you why that's true. Because okay. I had a program where we had 1200 clients, paid 10 grand, 1200 clients paid 10 grand to be in this program on how to sell consulting.
Yeah.
And I would say, and I'm just going to say it, over half of those people, here's the conversation. Hey, Dan, I'm so excited to be in your program. I really need help getting more clients for my business. Okay, what is your business? I teach coaches how to sell coaching and get coaching clients. Well, how many clients do you have? Well, I don't have any yet. That's why I hired you. And I just want to smash my face against a cheese grater. I'm telling you, that is most people. Okay. It really is. It sucks.
Do you think,
it really is.
This is playing devil's advocate. Do you think it was because of your marketing led them to that conclusion?
No, because I would always say, 'cause
you would attract the people with your marketing.
Yes. But in my sales presentations, I would always poke them with a nice hot poker and say, listen, like you should not do something that you don't know how to do. You should do the thing that you know how to do, even if it's a smaller level, because I used to use this analogy. Let's say you want to start a small coffee shop, right? Okay. Real small family-owned coffee shop. And let's say your neighbor has two family-owned coffee shops in your town. If you had the chance to learn from that guy versus the CEO of Starbucks, who would you choose?
The CEO.
You would choose the CEO.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't. Because they want to start a small venture.
Yeah.
And most people would think that CEO of Starbucks can't possibly relate
yeah.
to what, because most people aren't like high level entrepreneurs. Yeah, yeah. They can't see themselves relating to that guy. They can't see that guy understanding their problems. But their neighbor, who has done exactly what they want to do, who's closer to them in their journey, will absolutely resonate with them. And what I found was it's a lot easier to sell when you don't have as big of results. Mm-hmm. And I try to teach people that. I'm gonna tell you this, back when I was making like, I don't know, I used to talk about how we'd had like a $10,000 day, which, you know,
yeah.
Now later in my career is a very bad day. But people seem to be way more into that than showing like the $1 million day and all yeah. this, because it's just so out of reach for most people, you know? And I think sometimes as you get bigger, you alienate the people that are further, you know, that are more beginners. And so yeah. I try to tell people like, look, it's to your advantage that you're a beginner.
Yeah.
It's your advantage that you're not the guru of the guru yet. It's yeah. okay to just teach your thing that you're good at here. You don't have to be Tony Robbins 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
It's actually to your advantage not to be.
Yeah. No, so, it makes sense. It makes sense.
So I understand what you're saying because they saw what I did.
Yeah.
But I did try to mitigate that because yes, if you see somebody selling coaching and making money, you think, oh, I'll sell coaching and make money. But I did try to make it because I hate that. You can tell how passionate I am about it.
I feel like you've experienced it
yes,
quite often.
Very annoying. Yeah.
So, you know, going with that, right? You know, let's just talk about normal businesses and how they can apply these principles. Okay. So we're not talking about coaches. We're sure. not talking about, you know, whatever, right? Let's talk about service-based business or a restaurant or yeah. anything else.
Give me like, a business.
Yeah. Like how does a restaurant grow today?
All right, I'll give you an exact, I'll tell you how I grew mine, right?
Is it the same way still 10 years later?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, it's a restaurant. People need to eat, people want to drink. So here's what I did. I lived in a small town called Spring Hill, Florida. Now, the only bars in that town were sports bars. That's it. In Ybor, in Tampa, there is a city called Ybor City. It has all kinds of nightclubs. People in my town would drive an hour to Ybor City to go to the clubs. They would get drunk and they would risk DUIs and all this stuff. Every weekend there was a new DUI in my town. And you know where they got it from? Going to Ybor. I noticed this. And so I said, okay. I looked for a bar. I bought it. I remodeled it. And I made it a nightclub theme. It was the only nightclub theme in the town. And my whole pitch was, listen, you don't have to risk a DUI to go to Ybor. You can come to the first nightclub in Spring Hill, Florida. Okay. And it worked. And that same principle is the same thing with coaches. Hey, let's say you're a YouTube organic, you teach YouTube organic.
Yep.
Hey, are you sick of paying Mark Zuckerberg all this money to get no clients? Are you sick of paying thousands of dollars in Facebook ads and having nothing to show for it? What if you could instead take that money, that same money, and build something that once you had a video on YouTube, that video produced sales for you for life. Mm-hmm. See, when you shut off an ad, sales go away. But when you make a YouTube video, sales keep coming in. It's an asset that'll be with you forever, right? You can pitch it. It's the same principle. There's zero difference between pitching a restaurant concept and a coaching program. And the fact that people think there is the problem of why most people don't understand marketing. It's, hey, old way, new way. Here's the comparison. Here's why the new way is better.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did with Wealthy Creator, because I saw all these guys teaching how to run ads and all that stuff. And that's not how we got started, right? I did it the opposite. I just focused on making good organic content, building brand. And then I didn't have the stress of other people because everything was organic and free. And the leads were just, they're all great. Yeah. And so my experience was so different. And it was funny because when we did start running ads later, they'd be like, these leads suck. And it's like, actually, these are what normal leads are. This is a real lead. You guys got to actually learn to sell now.
Yeah.
You know, not order take.
Yeah. So but see, you could do the same thing. That's the thing about marketing and pitching is, I could sit there and say, listen, you could spend years building a YouTube channel or an Instagram channel and learning all the right things to say and having a personality and hoping that one day people start following you enough to where you have enough leads on your calendar to make any real money. Or you could learn the one skill that allows you to push buttons at 9 a.m. and have sales by 12 p.m. And that's Facebook ads. Like I could do the same thing, old way, new way. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most big. So when you learn how to throw rocks at what people think they need to do or they're doing that isn't working and show them how there's a new, because nobody buys, you know, Russell's made this example. Nobody buys how to get better at a diet. They buy a new diet, you know? Oh, let me you struggle with the Atkins diet? Let me show you how to get better. No, it's, hey, let me show you this new diet, this new opportunity. That's how the human mind works. We want to try something new if something doesn't work. And so, hey, you don't have to drive down to Ybor. You can come to a nightclub right here in town, you know? And then there was other stuff we did. Like, I'll tell you one of the two tactics that if you're a restaurant owner or really any type of brick and mortar entertainment base, the first one was we would do a birthday couch and we would say, hey, you'll get a whole VIP couch and a free bottle for your birthday. Well, people would come in with like 10, 15 people. We'd give them a bottle of Skol vodka, which cost us $6. They'd burn through that in like 5 seconds. And then they'd start ordering like expensive bottles and we'd make a ton of money. Thankfully, I don't drink anymore or condone alcohol. So this is my previous life. But the principle can be applied to any business. The other thing we did, and this was really, really brilliant, was if the bar was slow, again, that $6 bottle of Skol vodka, we'd make 200-300 Jello shots. So let's just say the Jello shots essentially cost nothing. Every time it got slow, we'd get on the mic and we'd say, hey guys, if you want a free Jello shot, check in on Facebook, walk up to the bar, show the bartender you checked in, and we'll give you the shot. So within minutes, they would all do this. Well, if Mike is at the bar and Mike's friend Sally is driving down the road, and she's on her phone and she, oh, Mike's at Aqua Bar and Lounge. We're right near there, right? Let's stop by.
Yeah.
That compounds. And within 45 minutes to an hour, bar was full every night. And we just grinded that. We grinded that same thing every night over and over. Every time it slowed it down, we did a Facebook check-in shot every single time. And we were able, worst location in town, we grew it to one of the highest revenues. And I flipped it a year later. In that small town.
What was the bar making?
Well, this keep in mind, this is a small town.
Yeah.
40 to 50 grand a month for a bar in that town was pretty good. And yeah, we had months where we'd hit 60, 70, 80.
Yeah.
But the bars that were doing even close to those numbers or even below that, they were on main strips. We were
off the beaten path,
way off the beaten path, you know, because every single soul that came into that place came from the internet. Mm. Every single soul. Cause you had to go out of your way to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to be looking for it.
Yeah.
So how would you market for a real estate business today?
What kind of real estate business?
All right, I'll use myself as an example. So we're trying to target homeowners,
okay,
to sell their home to us, take a cash offer, everything else. How would you market to them?
Well, first I decide who are you, what kind of houses you want. Are these luxury houses? Are these distressed owners?
Distressed owners.
So they're distressed owners.
We're targeting distressed owners.
Okay.
Who want to sell for cash.
Discount. Why do they want to sell for cash?
Because they need to sell quick. They don't want
to. But why do they need to sell quick?
Why do they need to sell quick? A life situation. So either they're in foreclosure, they're getting a divorce, they're moving, they just lost their job, like something happened.
Okay. So what is a negative consequence that could happen if you have two people that are getting divorced and they don't sell their house quick? What bad thing could happen?
They might end up having to stay married until they divide up the assets. And
okay. So right there.
Yeah.
So I could have asked you that same line of questioning down 10, 15 different paths.
Yeah.
But let's take this path, right? So right now I see an ad where it's like, is your divorce being prolonged because you can't sell your house? And I would go down the path of, listen, divorce is ugly. Divorce is one of the worst things a person could go through. So why would you want to go through it any longer? Unfortunately, right now, if you don't sell your house, that means XYZ could happen. That means you might have to stay married longer. That means, you know, negative consequence. Okay. And then I might say something like, right now we have investors ready to buy cash so that you can move on to the next phase of your life and get away clean. What I'm doing is I'm not focusing on the real estate. I'm not focusing on the house. I'm focusing on the reason why they want to sell the house.
Yeah.
I would do that campaign and then I'd do that 10, 15, 20 more times for 10, 15, 20 more reasons why somebody wants to sell. And then I would run ads to that and I'd go, okay. And most of them will bomb.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would you even target those people?
Well, okay. People who are getting divorced, right? Well, first of all, right now, we have an advantage right now. With AI, Facebook has such great targeting. We've begun not targeting and just having a really good copy and let the copy do the targeting. Because what Facebook will do and other platforms is they'll start showing it to people and only the people interested will obviously engage and the AI will figure that out. And we're noticing right now that you can literally have zero targeting and it'll target people quite well.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you had to be like, all right, what kind of TV shows?
So you're not putting any interest or anything.
We started to do that and it's working really well.
So just leaving it blank and letting it rip.
Leaving it blank, letting it rip, and then lookalike audiences.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, you want to get to the lookalike. We're a little different on the home buying side because we don't have this big, like, okay, so first, we were only in Las Vegas. So the lookalike audience is just strictly people trying to sell their home in Vegas. But now we're nationwide. And so, and all our leads were from TV. They were not from Facebook. Yeah. So it's like we're kind of building this new audience out from the jump.
Well, see, but that's the thing is there's an advantage right now with the targeting being so good. But actually, I had an offer. I spent 10 grand on ads. This was a while ago, but we sold like $100 million worth of real estate. It was some crazy amount because there was a condo in Houston, Texas, micro condominium, real small condos. And they wanted me to run ads and figure out basically the same question you asked. And so what I did was I said, well, why would somebody want to buy this? And they say, well, it's because it's really close to the city and they don't have to travel as far. I'm like, well, why are they traveling? Well, they're doctors and lawyers. They work downtown because that's where all the doctor and lawyer offices are. I'm like, okay, so they're young professionals in the medical or legal space. And the only sole reason why they're buying this is because they're in a transitionary part of their life. They're probably doing a residency and they want to be close to where they work.
Yeah.
And so I built entire angles and ad campaigns around not the real estate, not the condos, but the fact that, look, right now, time is money. You just spent all this time and money on medical school or on law school. The next 4 years of your life is where you're going to set the tone for your entire life. Okay. How good you do right now is going to be the basis of your career. And so you don't want to spend half your day commuting.
Yeah.
You want to spend it doing what you just invested all these years and all this time and money to do so that you can be the best and make a lot of money at it for the future. And that's why blah, 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 Ivy Lofts, you know, and then I talked about the condos. So I try to never talk about the drill. I try to talk about the hole.
You
know? Because nobody wants a drill. They want a hole.
Yeah. How do I get the hole?
The Socratic method of questioning. You just keep asking questions until the hole appears. So again, we started with the divorcees, right? They're selling it because they want a divorce. Well, I don't know. I don't know what happens if you divorce and don't sell the house because I haven't been in that position. So that's why I asked you, what bad thing could happen?
Well, you got to just continue the relationship with this person now, dealing with it. And you know, somebody might have to pay the mortgage and somebody else doesn't care, but it affects their credit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that right there. See, you just said two ad angles. Yeah. Hey, look, has your spouse already ruined your life enough? You know, if you don't sell your house, they could now ruin your credit.
Yeah.
Right now we have
investors. You're having to pay your mortgage because your spouse don't want it.
Right now we have investors who can prevent the next 10 years of bad credit by getting rid of that house right now. They'll take it right now. If you want to, you know, talk about this, book a call or go here or whatever is your CTA, you know, don't talk about the house. Nobody gives a crap about the house. They care about what bad thing will happen or good thing will happen as a result of the house.
Yeah. I've always thought that it's just like, how are you going to target those people? Right? Like this ad is so niche and small, right? Versus like, okay, let's take real estate investing, for example, running a course product. It's like, well, everyone wants to do real estate investing. So like anyone can see the ad and seem pretty interested for the most part.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like a very specific situation. I'm like, how do you even run traffic? But your point is like, just make the ad and let Facebook do its thing.
Right now. Yeah. But I mean, look, you can target, you can figure out what people, look, if you are female and you are, like for instance, I believe if you look at the studies, women want to divorce men more than men want to divorce women. So I would start targeting females on that. Okay. And see if you get a lower cost lower CPM. It may not, but I've read multiple articles. So that's where my mind goes, right? Like I read articles on this. It's like, oh, you know, the amount of women who want to get out of a relationship far exceed the amount of men. Now, is that true or not? Was it a good or bad study? I don't know, but it's enough for me to try an ad about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's enough for me to see if it'll work. And if you test enough, you'll find the angle. And then you can start expanding on that angle and making it more general.
Right.
And this is getting the real nerdy stuff here, but, and then sometimes you'll have a super general angle. Like, look, do you need to sell your house now? And you know, if you don't sell your house, a really bad thing could happen. Maybe you're dealing with a divorce. Maybe you have debt.
That's how I've always done it. Calling out a few generalities.
That works too. And then stories work. I mean, the truth is all this stuff works, but what works today might not work next month.
Yeah.
And what didn't work today might work. I would love to sit here and say, hey, there's this golden rule.
It's always testing.
It's just nerdy.
At what point
boring,
do you think like
testing
as a guy who's been doing it forever? Do you just feel like it never stops or that like, you like, do you ever feel like, oh, I figured it out. And then like, this is going to work for a long time.
Every day.
Every day
it's like that. Yeah. And the thing is that, and I look, culture changes, right? Like look at culture. When I was a kid, my parents were like, go to school. Here you go. Here's the bus. Go to school. No problems. Today it's child abuse. If you send your kid to school, like the difference of how crazy society has changed in just a few short years, And that's just in America. Right. I'm sure that same thing has happened in multiple countries and multiple cultures. So when culture changes, when culture changes, marketing changes.
Yeah.
You know, it just does. And so you say, oh, this works now. Yeah. But Kim Kardashian farts the wrong way, culture changes. No. So now all your marketing campaigns have to change.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to stick in the game, you can build a big company that. But to your point, that's what's great about being an organic star and having a YouTube channel and stuff like that. People trust you at such a high level that your margin of error for marketing is so big. When you're running paid traffic, it's not. You have to be perfect. But when you're a star on YouTube, nobody gives a crap. They're just like, here's my money, you know?
So with that, it's funny. I was talking to Cole Gordon, and I need to have him on the show. But, you know, we've talked a lot as I've gone deeper into digital marketing. And he's like, bro, I mean, there's so many things I could critique about your landing page and your ad and your VSL and all these things. And he's like, but look, you're getting the cost per lead and everything that you need to get. And he's just like, that's the thing with brand. He's like, guys like you and Cardone can just make a crappy ad and it's all good.
What a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. And he's like, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, but it works. And it's interesting, right? Because like you're talking about, you know, these skits with the purge and, you know, having to like do these things. And I'm like, guys, bring the camera in.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rip like three ads real quick. They're going to be right here.
Oh yeah.
And whatever happens, happens.
You know what? You want to know what the best metric I could give you for marketing is?
What?
When you're having fun. If you make marketing and you're having fun doing it, I've noticed it always works better than when you're like, oh, let me test 17 different angles.
Oh, I've never done that.
You know?
No, I don't think I ever will.
Yeah.
I won't try 15 hooks and all these skits. I'm like, guys, here's four. Just let it rip.
Now, look, I've done it. One time I tried seven different versions of a video sales letter of like basically like a mini webinar, and the first two couldn't have made a business out of it. The seventh, we made like 10 million. So there's something to be said for it. It's just that I'm such a creative person, even though I know that that's how you're supposed to do it. It's very hard for me to actually do it. Cause I'm just like, no, this is going to be great, man. Yeah. I feel it. And it's like, the data's like, I don't care what you feel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
No, that sucks.
Yeah. So I feel like most of the time I got lucky.
Yeah.
I hit it on the first try a lot. So,
with that, you know, where do you see all of this going in the future? Cause like you guys are launching AI things.
Yeah.
You guys are, you know, you're obviously shifting and pivoting. We're shifting and pivoting for what for me feels like the first time in my brief digital marketing career where, you know, it's just not straight, just book a call and close.
Well, I'll tell you where. So you either have to change the model or you have to change the marketing. So what I mean by that is you can still do book a call and you can still do that whole thing, but you have to radically change your approach to how you talk about it. Because if you're walking down the street and there's two lemonade stands and one lemonade stand says freshly squeezed lemonade and the other lemonade stand says yellow water with sugar, which lemonade stand do you go to? The one on the left, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same lemonade. Why would you go to the one on the left? It's because the one on the left just said better words to explain the same product. And so, yes, better marketing, a new fresh angle, a new facelift, because you know every product that's ever been sold has pretty much always it's been sold. It's just different marketing. So you can chase that game. And if you love marketing, you will love chasing that game because that is marketing. It's chasing the latest new way to say the same thing. It's what it is. And if you fall in love with that process, then you're fine. The other way to do it is change the model. So what I've started doing, and I don't know if this is necessarily the future, but Harmozy's doing it. I started doing it, is I'm really good at selling from stage. If you had a premium product or service and you didn't know how to sell from stage, I could charge you $50,000 right now. And I could teach you, do a seminar and I could teach you, work with you and teach you how to sell from stage and make you a lot of money. But then I only get 50 grand. And when I was at the last FHL, I had multiple people come up to me and say, Dan, I bought your $10,000 program. I make 2 million a month. I make 1 million a month. One guy, Joe, I saw the look on Joe's face, 3 million a month. Mm. And the only program he ever took was my $10,000 program. I started thinking to myself, man, I'm underpaid. So I started doing speech writing where I would help, instead of charging you 50 grand to help you write the speeches for your events so you could sell from stage, I just charge a percentage. And we made way more money. I probably did 200 last month off of my commissions, revenue, on stage selling. So I don't have to provide anything. I help them create their talks. I don't have to create a product. I don't have to fulfill. I don't have to do anything. I'm just like the ghostwriter of it.
Yeah.
And I get paid every month from people when they do their events. So look at what Hormozi's doing. They do equity for consulting, basically. You know, they help people with their team and they get a cut. That's when he says, I don't sell you anything. I mean, he's getting a big chunk of your company. That's a lot more than charging you a high ticket price, you know, which I love him for it because it's like the best marketing line ever. I don't want to sell you anything. You just have to give me a percentage of your company, you know? but a rev share or whatever. But that's where I've been going,
yeah.
You know, and here's what it does. I always give people the opportunity. I say, listen, you can pay me this much money and I'll take very little of a percentage. Or you can pay me this much money and I take this much of a percentage. You know what they choose every time?
Less money.
Less money, more percentage. And I end up making like 10 times more than if I would have just charged them like, say, 50 grand. Always. And it blows my mind. But that's where I think for me, I don't know where the industry is going. I think it's going to go 10,000 different ways like it always does. But for me, I think... from a high ticket perspective, that's where I'm going.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting just watching all this. Cause I just watched the rise and fall of so many guys. And I was actually asking Brunson, since he's been in the game for a while, I was like, hey, why do you think so many guys come and go? And he's like, well, two reasons. One is they do it right and they make a bunch of money and they just kind of go off into the sunset.
Yeah. That's a good reason.
Two is they make a lot of money and they blow it and they, you know, build a whatever, right? It all just implodes.
I don't think it's either one of those things.
Okay.
I think it's they make a lot of money. They make a lot of money doing something and then they do something else.
Mm.
You know, Arvid Ali said that, you know, entrepreneurs have the sick, disgusting disease of creativity and boredom. You make a ton of money doing something and then you're like, oh, I got this. Let me go. I'm bored. Let me go do something else. But see, boredom to me is scale. Because boredom means you got no more problems to solve, at least no more big ones. And so the most money I've ever cost myself is when I got bored and I'm like, let me try something new to entertain myself. Your business is not meant to entertain you. Go buy a dog, okay? The business is meant to make you money. Go buy 10 dogs, all right? The point is that the emotional reaction to making money, not making money, that's what messes us up. And that's what makes us make really, really bad decisions. Mm. And I'll say one more thing. The reason why I like the whole partnership rev share model is because you have to be good at it. I won't make money if I don't help you write good speeches that make you make a ton of money from stage and sell and speak to scale. I call it speaking to scale. If I teach you to speak to scale your business and you don't scale your business, I don't get paid. You don't get paid. So if I have 10 other people out there who are like, oh, Dan's making money doing that. Let me go copy him and do that. Well, if you suck at that, guess how much money you're going to make? Nothing. Yeah. But if you suck at an info product or coaching, you can still sell that, make money and suck.
Yeah.
And you're fine. Your customers aren't, but you're fine.
Yeah. You want to know something I was literally just talking to the team about that we're going to launch is kind of a version of that. But, you know, we've been running TV commercials for a long time. We're having a ton of success now running Facebook ads to sellers and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so many people have asked me, dude, who's your TV guy? Dude, who's your Facebook guy? Like, you know, it's all in house now. And
yeah, well, look at all this.
Yeah. And so I'm like, man, you know what? It's actually not hard to go run our stuff for other people. And the best part is I can still just run my face and everything too, and just give them the leads in their city. So instead of having to rely on their talent to make ads and other things, which they're not experienced at, we already have the creative that wins for me. And you just go run it in Dallas, you go run it in Florida, you go run it in whatever. Right. And all of a sudden now You know, they pay a retainer, like you said, and then we do a profit share on whatever those leads generate because they're using my likeness, our ads. It's literally push button easy. They just have to have an experienced sales team to do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm about to run that offer. Anyone watching this, I've never publicly even said it, but it was like, as I've been building it out, I've been asked so many times and now I'm like, this is such great money and easy money and win-win money. Like you said, for us, it's not hard to do because I already have it built. It's already done. And then guess what happens when you aggregate even more data together? We can now figure out the true winning ads and launch them for everyone because we're spending more and it's not oversaturation. It's all across the country, you know, super targeted and specific markets.
Yeah.
And so,
You have the benefit of having the data, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, if anyone wants that, you can text us.
I got to have the pitch.
725. What is my text number? 725-444-5244.
Yeah. That's
tell me you want the, you want to market with me together, but
that's a great offer. Yeah.
I mean, but it's only for experienced people. Cause like you said, you can't sell on stage if you don't have a stage.
Right? So I say, look, you gotta like, if you can't get anybody to an event, I'm not taking rev share. You got to pay me $50,000. But if you can get at least 300 people to an event, I'll do the rev share. I'm not helping you with traffic. You got to either have an audience or know how to get an audience. I can help you with it. I just don't want to. Okay. Cause if you can't figure that out, then
you're probably not even going to execute the pitch properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I will do the pitch for their event, but still you got to have, you know, you got to have some experience
audience.
And for me, my data was I had a mastermind. I had like 100 people in it max at one point. And it was a decent, it was like a $55,000 mastermind. Every week I did a call and every week I would hear an entrepreneur's pitch and I'd give them a better one and, or I'd hear their problems and I'd fix them all in that space. And so it's not that I'm good at this. It's just that I have so much backlog of data that when I get asked a question, I've already heard that question 15 times.
Yeah.
I've helped with that question. I've seen the result of me helping with that question. I just go in my Rolodex and go, no, that, here it is. Right?
Yeah. How is it now having so much experience? Cause for me, you know, I've been in real estate for 15 years now. So you think about that and you're like, I've pretty much seen every deal structure problem, anything you could imagine. And so now it's like, I spent millions of dollars marketing in all these different ways. And now I'm choosing to market these ways and we could easily replicate it. I'm just not in those states. And so now it's like, boom, you can get all the leads I would have got.
It's so your question is what does it feel like to have
well, that so level I guess basically my point was like the only reason you're able to do that, I'm able to do that is because of years of experience now.
Yeah.
And to be able to like have deja vu essentially and be like, you know what? I've been asked this question 20 times now. I'm going to just give them the offer to solve it.
So for me, I view it as a curve, right? In the beginning, you don't know all the answers.
Yep.
And so you're like excited about learning. And then you get up to the anger portion of the curve where you've been answering those same questions for a while. They keep asking the same ones. You keep answering them and they come back the next week and ask the same damn question. And you're like, what the, just do what I said. Like, come on. And you get angry. And then it starts to go down and you start to get older and wiser and you realize you've made those same mistakes where somebody has literally showed you the answer in front of your fat face and said, here it is. And you've just willfully looked at it and been like, nope, I'm not going to do that. And you've made enough mistakes now where you go, okay, that's me too. And now you have true empathy for that person. And now it goes from you not knowing anything and being a student to you being proficient and mastery to you now being a wise educator because you realize that the best way to mentor someone is to be able to truly relate to where they are. And I just think when you're at that peak, you're so into it that you're just like, why don't these people get it? And that's how I view it.
Yeah. It takes patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized that a long time ago with teaching beginners. I was like, yep, I'm not going to do this. We're going to have our coaches teach you the beginner stuff. And then I'll teach the stuff beyond that.
Yeah. I kind of like, do you ever do jujitsu?
No.
So there's a saying in jujitsu when you're a black belt. When you're a black belt, you feel like a white belt and a blue belt are like the same.
Okay.
But to a white belt, a blue belt is like years. Like it's like such a difference.
Yeah.
But to a black belt, it's like, yeah, whatever, same thing. And so I'm maybe this is going to make me sound like a dick, but I view everybody as a beginner. There's like, I can count on one hand the amount of people in this industry from a marketing perspective and like a selling perspective that I truly think get it. Everybody else is a white belt. And so to me, I've got used to teaching beginners because I've had people who are making $1 million in their business and they say, they ask the same stupid questions as the guy who doesn't know Jack, who's broke, living in his parents' basement. It's the same questions. You know, it's like, well, I don't know who my audience is and what, I'll ask them what they sell. And they'll tell me a story about when they were 17. And I'm like, dude, I just asked you what you sold. I don't need your life story. And they're like, no, but it's important. I mean, no, you think it's important. That's the problem. Like, just answer the fucking question, dude. Like, you know, and it doesn't matter. $1 million, broke, same thing. So to me, they're all white belts. And that's only because I've been in the game so long.
Yeah.
That it's all the same. And so I've kind of now chilled out to where I'm like, I'll help you guys. I have patience because you're all the same.
Yeah. I experienced that a little bit with Wealthy Creator because I was teaching all of them. And, you know, you have guys who are 8-figure dudes and I'm trying to teach them content and they do ask the same questions that beginners do because they are all on the same playing field in that skill.
Right. I'm probably like that in some categories. But
remember when we first were talking? Remember we were talking like, how long ago was this? Like a year and a half ago?
Yeah. Yeah, at the hotel.
The hotel. And you're like, but why would I do that? And I'm like, you don't get it? Like, I know. You're like.
Now I get it.
Yeah. I was like, why? You're like, why would I don't get it. Why would I not sell something? And I'm like, because that's not how it works. You just have to build your brand and like put out good content. And you're like, but. The ROI doesn't make sense if I don't sell it. And I'm like, all right. Never mind.
Yeah.
Just know it's worth it.
See, that's why I have patience with people who ask me questions now. Because I know I'm stupid with things that I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm that guy with this other thing.
Yeah.
I need to chill out and just answer the question and stop berating the person for asking it. You know, like, so, and that part I get now because you have to see it too. Like, because you saw what Alex did with brand and you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess that works.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, now everybody's like, let me build a brand.
Yeah.
So, no, I totally agree.
Yeah. I agree now with hindsight.
I agree. I'm sure there's some other stuff that I'm being a pig-headed, you know, dick about right now that in 5 years I'll be like, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong about that.
That was wrong.
But that's how it should be, right? I think like everything in life, you're always skeptical at first. Then you see it enough. You see enough people doing it and you're like, okay, maybe there's something to this. And then you're like, okay, but now you have some new false beliefs. I don't know if that's fit for me. I don't know if I have the time. I don't know if like it's going to be around. And then you just finally come to conclude, all right, I'm going to do it.
The people that get the riches fastest are the people that only have to be told once.
Hmm. Well, you know, you have to be told like 7 times to do something.
Oh yeah. I'm from Florida. I'm stubborn. It was bred into me, you know? But as I get older, I'm learning to get it 6, 5, 4, 3, two, you know?
All right. I've heard this from 2 people I trust.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. So eventually when I, you know, when I'm old and frail and I need the blue pill, I'll get it once. So
what do you think is, you know, as we wrap up here, like the big takeaway for people listening?
You know, I think the big takeaway is all this stuff works if you do it well.
Just get good at one thing.
That's never bad advice. You know, this is a funny story that'll really illustrate that point. We were doing, when I had the biz op, we were doing, like I said, $1 million a month sometimes. Then I started releasing more and more products because I got bored. I know.
Good idea.
Got all the way down to 70 grand a month. Imagine going from $1 million a month down to 70 simply because you released so much new stuff that you couldn't focus on the thing that was making you $1 million.
Wow.
Literally that. Oh, but I got to do this, but I got to get that. So when I had the least amount of money, I bought Sam Ovens Mastermind. And I go there, you know, and for 3 hours, he's like, ew, you know, you should not eat dairy because it screws with your mental focus. And I'm like, I just paid this guy 35 grand. And he's spending 3 hours telling me not to eat dairy. Right?
I'll tell you my same oven story too when you, after.
But the one thing when I got to talk to him, which we're friends now, but at the time I was like, you know, the guru. And I said, what should I do? I told myself, and he goes, how many products do you have? And I'm like, I got like 12, you know, like I'll crack it. I got 12, you know?
Yeah.
And, he goes, so you need to delete 11 and that will fix your problem. And I'm like, all right. So I pay 35 grand, 70, because I was in it for 2 years. So I pay this. I go home, I delete 11 products, go back to one. Like 3 months later, I'm making $500,000 a month. And I'm just like, this New Zealand bastard. Like, you know, it's just, you know. And it was just, nothing about ads, nothing about landing pages, nothing about marketing. And I also stopped eating dairy. Well, dude, he explained to me that in the United States, dairy is allowed to have up to 4% blood, urine, and pus. Imagine you have a 100-liter bottle of soda. You pour out 4 liters or ounces or whatever, and you put in, you relieve yourself and the rest. You ain't going to drink it. Well, that's dairy in America, okay? And he told me that. And I was like, okay. And I'm not going to lie to you. Ever since I quit dairy, mental focus has gone up. These are dumb, dumb, weird 1% things that add up. And, you know, you would think you go to a marketing guy, he's going to talk about marketing. No, diet and focus.
So, that was it.
That was it. It's worth it.
It was worth it though.
It made me a lot of money.
Yeah. So funny. The first time I ran into him was like 2 years ago. I'm sitting at a mastermind, and him and I just get to chatting. And this was before he had just like launched school. And I was like, hey, bro, we're on school. You know, this is before Hormozy and them got involved and stuff. I was like, it's a good product. And then like, you know, his ears perk up and he's like, wants to hear the feedback and he's everything.
Curious.
Right.
Very curious.
And, so then we, you know, we start hanging out for a couple of days at this mastermind and, you know, we're all having drinks. It's me, him, Rudy Maurer and Bill Hauser. And we're having this argument about organic versus ads. why you do that?
Because I have a Becker story with a very similar setup.
Okay.
So I'm wondering how this is going
to
end.
Okay. Yeah. You'll have to tell me that. So anyways, at that point I had just started running ads and I built everything organic. And then the other three, well, Rudy and Bill were all ads, basically no organic. And Sam had recently come to the conclusion that organic was better. Even being the ads guy.
Mm.
And Sam had just started getting back into his YouTube channel and stuff. And he was like, look, basically what I realized was I shut down doing ads. I shut down basically the business as a whole. And we still were making money from YouTube videos I made from years ago.
Yeah.
That's how we made all this money. I had way less staff, way less overhead. My margins were way better. He's like, just the YouTube is so powerful. And, I was like, yeah, I mean, for me, I realized that a long time ago. I was like, if I have 30,000 to spend, I'd rather spend it on my organic than an ad because I'm gonna have those assets out there forever and I'm going to build brand and I'm going to be able to do things and, you know, whatever. Right. And, sure enough, as we were just debating it, Rudy basically said the same thing you said about like, yeah, but if someone's new, they're not going to be able to build brand right away. And like ads are the only way to make money right away. And for me anyways, I'm like, well, there's still like ways to go get customers without spending money on ads. Like,
yeah,
you can outbound, you can do so many things, sure. Right? Well, still, I would still rather take that money and put it in organic. That was my opinion. And it was just interesting because basically Sam's conclusion was that, you know, these digital marketers who don't build brand, who don't put out good organic content, they ain't gonna last. Like the days of just running ads and you have nothing else for them to go watch, you're toast.
Oh yeah. Totally.
And that was years ago we were talking about that, but it's become to me even more prevalent today. So anyways, we became friends after that and we've obviously, you know, stayed connected.
So I know that we're about to end, but you got to hear this Becker story. It's great. So the second year I'm in Sam's mastermind, I go and Alex Becker sits down next to me And this was in his, what did that software he had, Market Hero or whatever?
I don't know.
Yeah, some CRM. And so he's there, and me and Sam get into this little debate over tracking. And Sam's position was like, don't track, screw it, just spend money and look at your bank account, right? And mine was like, no, you got to track everything, you know, which I've sort of leaned towards Sam now on that. But we're debating, and Becker, in the middle of this debate, gets up and just walks out. And he had given me his number, so I text him. And I'm like, bro, where'd you go? He's like, I'm getting on a plane, I'm out. I'm like, why? What happened? He's like, I got what I need. I don't need anything else. I'm like, you were here for an hour, bro. And he's like, yeah, I got it. I'm good. I'm like, okay. And so 6 months later, Becker calls me. He's like, hey, can you hop on Zoom? I'm like, sure. So we hop on Zoom, and he's like, hey, I want to show you something. Nobody knows about it, but I want to show you, I want to show you the features, and I just want your feedback. And I'm sure he did this with multiple marketers.
Yeah.
He's like, it's called Hyros. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, what's that? And he's like, well, remember when you were talking to Sam and you guys were debating about this? Well, I figured out, like, oh my God, that's a big problem. Like, you know, so I made this software, and he shows it to me. What was it? 6 months ago, a year ago, something like that.
He sold it for
$100 million.
Yeah.
So I want you to imagine you pay all this money, 35 grand, whatever, to go to a mastermind
for 1 hour.
You get what you need. You leave and you go make $100 million company. Okay.
I'm good. I'm going to leave.
Yeah. And the principle is this: most people, they pay for coaching randomly because it sounds good. I believe the best way to pay for coaching is not when you're making a lot of money and you're doing good, because then it's just going to be shiny object syndrome. Yeah, it's when you encounter friction. You go to do something, you encounter friction, and then you find the guy who's going to be the best at removing that friction. And for that moment, Alex's friction was he needed a new software idea, because he had made software. He needed a new software idea. And that was his friction. So he went to a mastermind.
To hear problems. Specifically was listening for problems.
And most people, they just buy masterminds because oh my God, I want to make money. No, go try to do something, encounter friction, encounter a problem, and then go find the place, the coach, whatever, that can help remove that. And you just rinse and repeat that. And that is how you make a ton of money from investing in yourself.
Mm, I love it, bro. Hey, where can people find you?
So because I have a lot of stuff going on, different socials and sometimes different ventures, I put everything into one place. So if you need my help making internet money, just go to getdanshelp.com.
Getdanshelp.com.
I own this company. I own that. Just go here. And I do that. And then I'm real active on YouTube and Instagram, both at Dan Henry.
Cool. All right, guys, we'll link to all those down below. Dan, great catching up with you again, man. Yeah, man. And everyone, make sure you subscribed, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Peace.